In the name of Jesus, amen. This is a Labor Day weekend, usually the traditional end of summer. I came across a news article somewhere that said Sunday evenings are usually a stressful time. You might think it's the last gasp of the weekend, but usually our minds and hearts are troubled with Monday morning. Labor Day seems to be that way as we head from summer into fall. The challenges of our vocations or callings to live as Christians in sometimes hostile world. That fits our reading today from Jesus. It's often been said that one's character is revealed under pressure. Adversity does not build character. Rather, adversity reveals character. I think that's true. When the going gets tough, what's our character? When the going gets tough, what kind of person are we? Our gospel reading, I think, really addresses this. It describes adversity and the Christian character. It's never really been a popular message, but it's been a message and a character that has propelled Christianity all the way from a shameful death on a cross to here, the love of Christ in the Spirit in Lower Manhattan. To be a Christian is to believe in Christ and to follow Christ. Christ lives in us and we live in Christ. That's Christ crucified, Scripture says, that we know nothing except Christ crucified. And if Christ lives in us, then we are crucified in Christ. Christ who suffered adversity for us. And while it's true the sacrifice of Christ on the cross atones for the sins of the world and for you and me, let's face it, we still struggle with sin in our lives. And we're called daily to die to sin, Scripture puts it, and rise to new life in the cross of Christ. Because of sin and death in our world and in our hearts, we struggle with adversity in life. We can blame other factors, but let's look at sin in our own lives first. Jesus puts it this way in our gospel reading. He tells his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The disciples were rightly shocked at this message. Jesus goes on. "For whoever would save his life will lose it." That makes no sense in a world that's all about saving your life. "But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." That makes all the sense in the world when you live by the spirit of love. Taking up crosses. The cross was a symbol of pain and shame. The early Christians for the first 3 centuries, didn't even use it. You didn't have to. You just went outside of your Roman town, and there you saw those executed. We have the cross as a symbol. The cross, which is empty. Death is empty of its power. Jesus lives. The resurrection is ours. Yet we wear crosses, too. A good practice sometimes. The cross we follow. The cross we take. Taking up our cross. Jesus tells his followers to take up the cross and follow him. Unless we forget how painful this is, Jesus drives it home for us. You know, in the Christian life, I often hear about crosses we bear. And that's true. We all bear crosses. I get a lot of prayer requests for crosses we bear. And I do pray for them, and I hope we do too. Often these crosses are sufferings that we all bear, that make no sense and leave one in pain, suffering an illness for no seeming fault of our own. That's hard enough. And we reach out in love to one another, as Scripture says, we share each other's burdens of cross bearing. But there's another kind of cross Jesus talks about here. There's cross bearing. And then there's cross taking. Taking up the cross. That's active, not passive. That means we take the initiative. To die, to rise to Christ, means to die to the self, to live in Christ for others. The Christian life is one then of humility, and being humble comes from the word being low to the ground. We're from dust, after all. In sacrifice. In the New Testament, Christians are called priests, after all. And what do priests do? We're all called priests, it says. We sacrifice. That's what priests do. We sacrifice ourselves for the sake of God and for others. Our lives are living sacrifices to God and Christ for others. That's all very active. To sacrifice means we die to self. We give our risen self to others. And this dying of self happens when we confess our sins. It happens with the mouth, but I'll get to it also happens with all of us, with our whole existential selves. It's not just talking, it's actually walking, or taking, or giving, or praying, or living. This dying to self happens when we confess our sins. We use words to do that every Sunday. But we also say it without words, don't we? And isn't that when most people notice what we do without our words? Are we true to what we say? This is how the Apostle Paul puts it in our second reading from Romans today. Let love be genuine. I think we know what that is. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. How about this one? Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient. Patient in tribulation. Constant in prayer. I love this list. I often return to it in my own life. And you know, as I've gone through it, I've realized that nowhere here, or that I can find really in the New Testament, does Paul or one of the apostles say, now make sure everyone around you knows that you're right. Make others know that they're wrong. Make people realize they're at fault. Judgment, as Scripture says, begins with the house of the Lord. We confess we're sinners, and at best, we're addicts in recovery. When we give our lives to God and Christ for others, we give in Christ our sin, our shame, our addictions, our blame. We give to Christ our very death, everything. For whoever loses his life for my sake, Christ says, we'll find it. And we find our lives there in Christ. Christ who gives his new life of forgiveness, life, and salvation. You know, Paul goes on because he goes on standing on the mercy of Christ. And he sums up, I guess, that reading with overcoming evil with good. Blessing those who hurt us and persecuting us. And if possible, he says, if possible, live peaceably with all. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We're going to hear in our readings these next few weeks about conflict resolution in Jesus, Matthew 18. We're going to get Jesus on forgiveness. There's a number of chapters on there. But I think our reading today focuses on this as conflict as Christians. Christ-like and Christ-inspired way to live. And I think our reading today reminds us that the Christ-like way is to make the first move in reconciliation. When we are wronged or when we wrong others, it doesn't really matter. The Christ-like way is to reach out to the other in a spirit of humility and peace, to take up our cross and deny ourselves. How many conflicts, if you think about it, in our lives would be avoided and settled once and for all if only each of us would somehow in humility make the first move toward forgiveness and reconciliation? I know there will certainly be objections. A person sinned and did wrong. That may be true and probably is. But the best way to work towards reconciliation and sinners is to always remember that we're all sinners. Christ died for sinners, all of us, and when we realize that magnitude of sin, we realize the magnitude of our Savior, Jesus. And I think our gospel reading invites us this week to think about who in our lives, who is it that we can sacrifice ourselves to more this week? It might be someone near, it might be someone far. As priests of God, whom can we offer our sacrifice of prayer? To whom can we sacrifice ourselves and our pride for? In other words, as Jesus asks, who do we need to forgive? And in a culture where apologies either often seem fake or weak, how can we do better? How can we lose our lives in Christ for the sake of serving one another? Our epistle reading, our second reading, it holds significance for me, as I mentioned. It was the second reading at my ordination service many years ago. It's a reading I try and measure myself up to. Each time I find in the lectionary, I get a little excited, and I realize, though, how much better I could be doing. Isn't that how we approach God's Word, all of us? You can use me as an example. And each time I return to this reading, I realize the heart of Jesus. It's genuine love in Jesus. Love that does not insist on its own way, but insists on the needs of others. How many needless conflicts would be avoided if we just took a reading to heart? Let love be genuine, overcome evil with good. What kind of character do we really have when the going gets tough, when we are challenged, when we face adversity, either that's brought upon us or maybe that we add to? It's good to pray with Jesus. It's good to stumble along those, like those first disciples, that we would lose our lives for Christ's sake, that we will follow and not grow weary, and that our love would be genuine. Amen.